Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life Body. And this message will be from the Gospel of John, what is listed as being the 10th chapter. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth, as in thy holy word, so in us. Give us this day our daily bread and everything we need and cannot do without. Bless us, we may forgive our debtors as you forgive us our sins we commit against thee and against thine. Lead us not into temptation to sin, but deliver us from evil. For thine only is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, in Christ Jesus' name. And holy God, in Jesus' name, guide us and direct us and lead us into all truth. And Heavenly Father, blessed be he who cometh in the name of the Lord, in spirit and truth and word and deed and power and might. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Again, what's referenced as being chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, Thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. As I've said many times, when I am reading from and speaking regarding a section of Scripture, here in the Gospel according to John, I'm going through one so-called chapter at a time. And I say so-called because, again, these are divisions by men and not by God. And so, beginning with this section of Scripture, what is referenced or listed or titled as being chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. The Lord Jesus Christ, with this parable, if you will, or might look at it as a figure of speech, he references a shepherd, of which there are so many in the countryside of Judea and also Galilee, throughout the Holy Land. And the shepherds, the good shepherds, the better shepherds, they knew their sheep so closely, so intimately, that they could identify them, the individual sheep, which is not to say that they had names, but still they knew which sheep were theirs. and they knew when one was missing. Well, Jesus Christ, God the Son, and God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit, they know their sheep. We people, we sinful people. And in particular, those who choose to believe on the Lord. They know us so intimately, so well, they know us by name. And the Lord Jesus Christ, referring to himself as this shepherd, states that he knows his sheep by name because he calls them by name. Calls each of them by name. And he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, not all the others, but his own who have chosen to accept, to receive, to embrace Jesus as their Savior, as their Lord. Many are willing for Jesus to be Savior, but not Lord and God and King, ruler, master. But he putteth forth his own sheep, those who choose to be his. And he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Going back two millennia all the way up to the present, and in fact, you could go back further than two millennia, but there are a great many people that are only too willing to follow all manner of liars and destroyers, all manner of false Christs, all manner of gurus, and those who will lead people to destruction, all manner of those who seek to enslave and exploit and use and abuse and molest and worse. Amazingly enough, so many of these manage to rope in so many followers. I'm forever amazed at that, at how many people are so willingly, readily beguiled into following such manifestly ungodly, unrighteous, unloving, dishonorable, shameful, disgraceful abusers and exploiters and destroyers. It astonishes me, but it's been going on forever and a day. These minions of Satan who seek to destroy and who manage to rope in so many foolish, foolish, sinful, blind, ignorant people. And oftentimes it is within the realm of purported Christianity. Within Roman Catholicism, within Protestant Christian cults and sects, but also within denominations that are apostate and profane and heretical, and in denominational churches that of which the denominations are not apostate and heretical, but in which there are individual pastors and groups of pastors in churches that have groups of pastors, and alliances of churches and affiliations of churches, church movements and so forth. It's very commonplace. And certainly, throughout all of these great world religions that are false religions and serve a false god, every single solitary great world religion, other than Christianity and formerly Jewry, serves a false god, serves Satan under this guise or that guise and this pseudonym and that pseudonym. But those who are Christ's follow him and will not follow these liars and destroyers, not willingly. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. So now Jesus is expressing it very differently. He changes it up because they aren't getting it. So he tries it a different way. Hopefully they'll be able to understand it with this explanation. Because the truth is, frequently we do not get it. Certainly his disciples, his apostles, didn't get it over and over and over so many times throughout Scripture. But the Lord Jesus, as I've said before, it surprises me because I try to make things as unmistakably clear as possible when I communicate, when I broadcast, because I am concerned about being misunderstood, misrepresented, afraid of people not understanding. So I want to make it as clear as possible. And in so doing, at least within my talk programs, my news talk programs, whatever, however they want to be termed, I err on the side of being redundant to really emphasize what is of greatest import. But the Lord Jesus used parables and metaphors and analogies and different things, and it is very easy not to understand. I know there are all manner of Bible teachers out there and ministers out there and televangelists and evangelists out there who advertise that they understand everything in God's Word, and it's simple and it's easy and so on and so forth. Well, they misstate. They misrepresent, because that's just not the way it is. But so Jesus comes at it another way, and he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Did not hear them, did not listen to them. It's not that they didn't hear them. It's that they did not heed them. They did not listen to them. They did not follow them. They did not obey them. They did not heed them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Any man, meaning any person. We have these instances in every gospel, essentially, and where at the end of the gospel, prior to Jesus ascending into heaven in full view of them, he instructs his followers to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every person. But it is expressed different ways. One of the ways it's expressed is to preach the gospel to every creature. Well, that's not accurately what the Lord said, but it's what we have, okay, in the infallible, inerrant Word of God, even in the King James Version, authorized version. But it's not accurate. It's not creature. It's not to preach to mules and donkeys and burros and camels and horses and dogs and cats. That's not it. Not camels, not cows. No. They may be very attentive audiences. I don't know. But that was not the intent. And so to hear, to preach the gospel to every man, it's to every person. Jesus ministered very lovingly to babies, to children, and his disciples and apostles repeatedly were put off by it, even the beloved John. But Jesus, while he did condescend, and that is kind of a loaded word in this day and age, oh, you're condescending, well, then you are demeaning me because you're condescending. You're being condescending to me. You are demeaning me. You are disrespecting me. No. The real, true meaning of condescending is to lower oneself to the position of another, and it's to relate to the other, to be able to communicate to the other, or to put oneself on the same level as another. And Jesus condescended. He had to. His disciples and apostles were so far beneath him, he had to come down, stoop to conquer, get down to their level, because they couldn't understand it most of the time, even when he was at their level. But Jesus, while he did lovingly receive babies and children and bless them, he did not baptize them, and none of his disciples or apostles baptized babies or little children. It didn't happen. That is Catholic apostasy and heresy, and it, of course, is carried through into some of the Protestant churches and is even defended and espoused by some exceedingly highly regarded, highly respected, loved Protestant Bible teachers. I don't know whether I should mention the name of this one or not. But anyway, the Lord Jesus did that. He lovingly received them. He blessed them. May have even uttered a prayer here or there for them, even though we don't have it listed. We don't have that verified in the Gospels. But he never ever aimed his teaching at them. Okay, he didn't have children's church. He didn't do that. He didn't have children's Sunday school, whatever. No, this was for adults. And many of these adults were unlearned people. They hadn't had all of the sophisticated Pharisaical teaching, training, and all of that. No. But that's not to say that they were complete ignoramuses either. As we found in Samaria, in the city and around the city of Sychar, where these people who were not considered to be Jews not only had no advanced training, they didn't have any kind of training. They didn't have rabbis there teaching them, you know, in any way, shape, or form. They weren't Jews, right? Even if they had Jewish lineage, Jewish heritage. And yet they knew basic fundamental truths going back to Abraham and on up through the Old Testament. And they had belief. They had core belief. They weren't acting on it with their behavior, as is seen with the woman at the well. But nonetheless, they had some understanding. I know that my grandfathers, they worked laboriously at very dangerous employments from the time they were very young, from the time they were young teenagers, in very dangerous occupations. They did not have high school education, but they had decent common sense. If you go back to the colonial times in the United States of America, young people were done with their schooling by youthful teenage years. And if they were going on for post-secondary education, they were going into college at ripe old ages of, say, 16 years of age. My point being that basic education was imparted and imparted effectively at a much younger age than is the case today out in public schools, so outside of the realm of homeschooling and so forth. Well, the Lord Jesus is speaking to this general audience. But wherever he speaks, wherever he preaches, wherever he teaches, wherever he ministers, there is always this dark cloud. If you're old enough to remember, there was a wonderful comic strip long ago called Lil Abner, and it was penned by Al Capp. And one of the characters was Joe Blifspick, I think. And he always had a dark cloud over him wherever he went. Well, here, the Pharisees, the doctors of the law, the scribes, the elders, the priests, there's always a gang of them wherever Jesus is, trying to entrap him, trying to catch him in his words so that they can accuse him to the authorities. And they just follow him wherever he goes. And Jesus makes it easy for them. He teaches in the temple. He comes into the synagogue here, the temple here, teaching regularly, daily in the temple. And they can't get rid of him. The people love to hear him. He speaks with authority, unlike the religious leaders, the Jews, otherwise known as the Jews here. Almost every time that you see it here in the Gospels, you see the term the Jews. It's almost always the Jewish leadership. Not always, but usually. So Christ Jesus says to this group of people. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. They did not heed them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And here in our infallible, inerrant Bible, and as far as I'm concerned, the King James Version, the Authorized Version, is the best of the best, contrary to what so many exceedingly intellectual scholars, Bible scholars, theologians would have us believe. But this infallible, inerrant version, it says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, when in fact it is to steal and to murder and to destroy. And I hesitate to say it because of not knowing the breadth of the audience, but that includes steal and corrupt and pervert and seduce and rape and murder and destroy. And did I say kidnap and kidnap and enslave? I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. It's fascinating that the Lord Jesus Christ here says of himself that he is the good shepherd, and he says it repeatedly. He says it once, twice, thrice, and maybe more, but at least three times he refers to himself as the good shepherd. If you recall, the doctor of the law, the lawyer, who said to him, and in one place it refers to him as a ruler, but refers to Jesus, he speaks to Jesus, he asks him a question, and he says, good master, what must I do to be saved? Good master. And Jesus says, none is good but God. This Jewish leader has said to Jesus, good master. And the context of it testifies really that this man was not trying to entrap Jesus, that he sincerely was asking Jesus. But Jesus immediately, you could say, contradicts him. And he says, none is good but God. And yet here, Jesus says of himself, explicitly says of himself, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I apologize for going on too long there. So going back, he says that he is the good shepherd. Christ Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, is the good shepherd. He says that he giveth his life for the sheep. Not proverbially. It's not a matter of, well, I have this labor of love that I am carrying out, and so in a manner of speaking, that's giving my life. No. No. I'm going to be crucified for my sheep and for those who will believe on me in time to come. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, not the good shepherd, but the hirelings whose own the sheep are not. He's not referring to explicitly evil ones here, because he says that these hirelings see the wolf coming and they leave the sheep and they flee. The explicitly evil ones are the wolves. And we've heard about the wolves in sheep's clothing, but the explicitly evil ones are the wolves, and that's not to do a disservice to the four-legged, four-footed animals we know as wolves. But these others are the corrupt, profane, seekers of filthy lucre, of power, of position, and so on and so forth. They are the ones who enter the career of minister without being called by God. Oh, yes, they may say they were called. And some church or other that they receive a pastorate of at will say, oh, yes, that we called you. And they will say for the people to apply that if you feel called by God, called of God to minister here, you know, to apply. And on it goes. These hirelings invariably claim they are called of God, invariably claim that they were called to the ministry, and so on and so forth. But they are hirelings. It's not just that their heart isn't in it. It's deeper than that. These are people who this is a profession for them. When I say profession, I don't mean professing belief in Christ. I mean a profession, a career, a job, if you will. They are not called by God. They are not God's servants, regardless what they say, regardless what others say of them. They are not committed to it, dedicated to it with their lives. And then there are the evil ones, who are worse yet. But the hirelings flee. When danger comes, the hirelings flee. When the going gets tough, they get going in one direction or other. Not to be confused with the tough get going. No. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Again, there are multitudes of people that are roped in by liars and destroyers, roped in by the hirelings, and also roped in by the explicit destroyers. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, God the Father. And I laid down my life for the sheep. Greater love hath no man than this, that he layeth down his life for his friends. The Lord Jesus Christ lays down his life for the sheep, not just those that are following him at this point in time, but for all throughout the millennia that will follow him. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Yes, this can refer to the Gentiles, or this can refer to all of the non-Jews. But it refers to people from every nation, every kindred, every tribe, every family, every language, every race. Not every sex. There are only two of those, contrary to so many leaders in this nation who are leading this nation to hell. But there are a disappointingly large numbers of peoples of various races and nationalities and ethnicities who insist on rejecting Jesus Christ as Lord because he's that white man's God and other such profoundly ignorant, stupid things as that. Now, there are the leaders who have taught them this, who have not taught them such lies out of stupidity or ignorance. But those that swallow these lines, those that follow them on these profoundly profane premises, do so out of stupidity and ignorance, profound stupidity and ignorance and vanity and a few other things. God Almighty created all races of man on this earth, of one blood, if you will. Every race, every so-called ethnicity, so-called nationality, every tribe, kindred, family is comprised of people, a group, a vast group of people, some of whom will inherit eternal life in the kingdom of God, but most of whom will not, most of whom will reject Jesus Christ as Savior, Lord, and God. And the most idiotic reason there is under the sun for rejecting him is that he is not the same race or color as them. It is the most profoundly idiotic thing. But by the way, Jesus wasn't a so-called white man. He was a Jew, but was he really? Yes, he was Jewish. He was Hebrew because he was conceived and born of a Hebrew girl, a Hebrew virgin girl. But he was begotten by the Holy Spirit. So you could say he was half Jew, half Hebrew. But he was given for all peoples, that all peoples might have the opportunity to be saved, regardless of their race, their tribe, their kindred, their family. But again, there are myriad idiots that reject him on the basis that he's not the same race as them. And the most profoundly idiotic example of that is the black Muslims here in the United States of America. The black Muslims of Elijah Muhammad and so forth. Louis Farrakhan. Well, it's so ironic, you know, that reject Jesus because he's this white God, supposedly this white man's God. And instead they embrace Islam, admittedly a cult of Islam, but nonetheless Islam, which is, of course, not black, but Arabic. So, and if you look through the history of Islam back to the founder of it, the false prophet Muhammad, satanic destroyer Muhammad, who was a minion, chief minion of Satan, known as Allah, you find that lo and behold, these Arab Muslims of Muhammad's did some monstrous evil on a massive scale to blacks in Africa in the process of enslaving them, black men. But again, American black men and male youths and so forth that want to reject Jesus and embrace a cult sect of this satanic Islam on the grounds that Jesus is the white man's God, they can do that. They can cheat themselves out of eternal life. That's their problem. So, again, Jesus says there will be one fold. So every person that embraces Jesus Christ as Savior, Lord, and God comes into one fold. Whether they're a Jew, whether they are a Pharisee of the Pharisees, or whether they happen to be anything else, they come into one fold. Because guess what? Every race, every kindred, every family, every tribe is fatally flawed. Every person who inherits the kingdom of God, thanks to the mercy and the grace and the self-sacrifice of Jesus Christ, is saved in spite of being an undeserving sinner. So there's really no place for pride, whether it happens to be racial pride, ethnic pride, religious pride, whatever it happens to be, intellectual pride, and so forth. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. I must bring. And they shall hear my voice and heed my voice and obey my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Not these false Christs, these liars, these destroyers, these deceivers, but one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. Oh, sure, they're conspiring to entrap me and to murder me. But the only reason they're able to do that is I permit it to be done. Because if I do not permit it to be done, no one will be saved. It's the reason I came. It's to fulfill Scripture. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. You won't find that commandment amongst the Ten Commandments. This is one for Jesus alone. He received it from his Father that he had power to both lay down his life and to take it up again. And as we read through the Gospels, we find it referred to that God raised Jesus and the Holy Ghost raised Jesus. And you might even think the angels raised Jesus, but here Jesus says that he raised himself. I have power to take it again. I have power to take it again. To raise himself. Or as he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Not God the Father, not God the Spirit, not a legion full of angels, but I will raise it up. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews, the Pharisees, the scribes, the doctors of the law, the elders, the priests. There was a division among them because of these sayings, and many of them said, "He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him?" Others said, "These are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? How about of the born blind, who is an adult man?" And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch, in King Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews, the Jewish leaders again, the Jewish predators. Then came the Jews round about him. They encircle him, they surround him, and said unto him, "How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. So they surround him and they demand of him, "If you're Christ, tell us so that we can accuse you, so that we can get you murdered, so we can execute you." Wonderful, zealous, truth-seeking, God-honoring, God-loving Jewish leaders. So compassionate, so filled with the milk of human kindness. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me?" The Jews, again, the same gang, answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, ye are gods'? If he called them gods, if God called them gods, through his Holy Spirit, if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him. These wonderful Jewish leaders, again referred to as the Jews, these doctors of the law, these Pharisees, these priests, these elders, these scribes, and these officers of theirs, their paramilitary officers, officers of the temple. They sought again to take him, to seize him, to arrest him, and to take him to be charged and summarily found guilty and put to death. And here's Jesus walking in Solomon's porch in the temple, surrounded by these Jewish leaders and their officers. But he escaped out of their hand. How did that happen? Did his apostles come alongside and somehow overpower these guys and whisk him out of there? No. No. Absolutely not. But Jesus escaped out of their hand. And he went away again beyond Jordan, beyond the river Jordan, into the place where John at first baptized. And you find in the scripture verse from the first chapter, so-called, verse 28, it's referred to as Bethabara. That's where Jesus went. That's where John was baptizing when Jesus went to be baptized. Beyond Jordan. And there he abode. And many resorted unto him. How did they find Jesus? Isn't he in deep hiding somewhere? No. But he's outside of Jerusalem, outside of Judea, too. And many resorted unto him and said, John, meaning John the Baptist or John Baptist, did no miracle. Because John didn't do any miracles. John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. Many believed on Jesus of Nazareth, that he is the Messiah, that he is the Christ, even though they believe that he's from Nazareth. And of course, we have one of the apostles famously stating, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nathanael, or Nathaniel, if you prefer. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Well, if Jesus was truly from Nazareth, then yes. But, of course, he was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem, which has been terrorized by Islam for quite a while now, in recent times. Not talking about back when the Holy Land was entirely enslaved under Islam and the Crusaders had to break through and save the Holy Land from the Muslim hordes, the Moorish hordes. But, and then through time, Muslims, of course, overwhelmed the Crusaders and took it back. and defiled Jerusalem. And Israel is, as it has been throughout such a large portion of human history, is enslaved by non-Jewish peoples who are at war with Jewry, but really ultimately, first and foremost, with Christianity. Jesus Christ was persecuted monstrously, murderously, by the overwhelming majority of the Jewish hierarchy, the Jewish leadership. There were those who came to believe on him. Whether they came to saving faith in Christ, where they actually received him as their Lord and Master, I don't know how many of those there were. But they certainly did not assert themselves any more than the apostles did to prevent Christ from being crucified. Our eternities hinge not upon our race, nor our ethnicity, nor our nationality, but on our faith and or lack thereof. Faith is a gift from God. If we merely believe, there are so many Christian ministers, and they will quote the appropriate scriptures, so many Christian ministers and so many professing Christians who believe that as long as you believe Jesus is Christ, that's enough. That's all that's really required. Oh, get baptized, but that's all that's required. Obedience is really not required. All that you have to do is believe, and yet in the Word of God, in the Scripture, which cannot be broken, it says, ye believe well. The devils believe and tremble. Yes, it says that. Ye believe well. The devils believe and tremble. Okay? The devils believe. But guess what? They aren't saved. Do you remember there are instances time and again where a possessed person or persons speak of Jesus as being the Christ? That's right. Possessed people with the devils speaking, the legion speaking, or the devils speaking, state that Jesus is the Christ. They must be saved. No, no. They're enslaved by Satan. They're enslaved by his demons. And yet they refer to Jesus as Christ. So, we ought not be so cavalier and so careless as to imagine that merely believing on Jesus is enough. There really has to be more than that. For us to be saved, he has to be more than Savior. He has to be Lord and God. I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life Body. Heavenly Father, Holy God, Mighty God, be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and lead us and direct us into thy truth by thy Holy Spirit, and bring us into thy eternal kingdom. Grant that at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we may stand before the Lord and we may be received into the kingdom of God and not rejected. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.